This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Glad to have you with us on this Monday. And we begin with wildfires in Northern California this hour, where more than 5,000 homes have been destroyed and at least 40 people have died over the last week. The fight is on to contain the fires, and officials now say they're optimistic.
We're turning the corner. We're getting a lot more black line up there. You're seeing those containment levels coming up. Things feel good in our gut as firefighters. So we just need the weather to cooperate with us a little bit. Those red flag warnings to stay away, and I feel very confident with all the folks out there that are doing an outstanding job that we will get this thing knocked down for you.
According to officials, nearly 60% of the fire is now contained in Northern California. Now that some of the evacuation orders have been lifted, many residents are finally returning to their neighborhoods to see what's left of their homes. It's the very first step in a long and complicated road to recovery, involving insurance and money and decisions that can linger for years. Amy Bach is executive director of United Policyholders. They're a group that helps homeowners with insurance policy issues, especially after disasters. And Amy, when people return home, or what used to be home, often with everything gone after a wildfire like this, maybe they have their homeowner's insurance policy in a fire safe. What does starting to think about recovery look like?
It is very much like losing a loved one, losing a home. It's traumatic. People are very disoriented. They are overwhelmed. People can't sleep well. It's pretty fundamental to lose the roof over your head and to lose your lifetime of possessions. It's just overwhelming. That is the word that comes up over and over. And so a lot of what United Policyholders focuses on is assuring people that as strange as they feel is normal, the new normal, we call it, and that there are a lot of people who've been there, done that, and they are here, we are here to impart lessons other people have learned that will help ease their journey on the road to recovery. So, you know, find a place to live is always the first bit of advice. We say, you know, focus on your family's needs first and try to get yourself situated physically so that you will be in a comfortable, safe place in order to make the kind of decisions you're going to have to make in the next months and years ahead.
And then what typically happens when people first start to delve into their insurance policies, into all the issues that they're going to have to think about to get recovered?
Well, you know, cash is king after disaster. So a lot of what we focus on is encouraging people to ask their insurance company for advances, cash advances on the benefits that they will be owed. And insurance companies have a lot of paperwork requirements that they have implemented. And after a very serious or a total loss, those paperwork requirements are pretty tough for people. You know, trying to inventory everything you lost, it's just very daunting. And while we understand insurance companies need to dot I's and cross T's, we went right in to try to ease the flow or open up the flow of cash to the survivors of these horrible wildfires.
And those advances, those cash advances, sound like they could take a lot of the pressure off at the beginning, because there must be a tendency to want to rush, right? It's time for recovery. I have to get my money, and people might want to rush through it.
That's exactly right. And that's really the opposite of what we guide people to do. In other words, you know, a lot of people will feel they're in shock. It really is shock, and they don't know what they should do, but they feel like they should do something. And a lot of our message, this is actually a Quaker saying, is don't just do something, stand there. So we don't recommend you make any major financial decisions in the first couple of weeks or even month if you can avoid it, and recognize that time is on your side. And statistics are the longer your insurance claim stays open, the more benefits you receive. So a lot of our focus is just encouraging people to try to shelter in place for a little bit and let the information flow at them, but don't try to act on everything that comes at them.
Still, take your time, you know, don't do something, just stand there is maybe a tough message for somebody who's not living at home, living at a friend's house, or living in an Airbnb somewhere.
It is. It is. It absolutely is. And I think that's why from the get-go, we're pushing out our first steps guidance. We are distributing recovery journals or encouraging people, if you want to help a friend who's had a loss, give them a notebook. It's a pattern, you know. So because a lot of our volunteers and our staff have themselves lost homes, they have a lot of unique empathy and insights for people on what matters and what doesn't matter in this situation.
Well, talk about that a little bit, because I had understood that some of your volunteers had their homes wiped out in fires all across California. I mean, you have people helping you who've been there and not so long ago.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, our very first Roadmap to Recovery event is coming up this coming Wednesday in Santa Rosa. The person who organized it just lost her home, and she connected with our star volunteer, Karen Remus, who lost her home in a San Diego wildfire. And she found Karen, and she found us, and now she's organizing this meeting. Well, that's somebody who just lost her home 4 days ago, but she's got that energy. You know, people, some people have it, some people can barely speak, but the people who have the energy make a huge difference for their neighbors. And that's kind of a beautiful thing to see, is that kind of paying it forward.
I mean, Amy, there's so much that goes into recovery after a disaster like this, getting your home wiped out, and only part of it is financial. But let's talk about the bottom line just for a second. When all this is over for the people that you work with, somebody whose home was completely turned to ash in a place like Santa Rosa, do they get made whole in the end? Can they get through a disaster like this and look back on it 2, 3, 4 years later and say, it didn't cost me my living?
I would say some people, yes. Some people, no. So it really, there's a spectrum. And the better your insurance coverage is, the better your recovery is going to be. Because it's a myth that the government, you know, rides in and makes everything better. That's not true. The most that folks get from FEMA in a situation like this would be either an SBA loan, which is a good, you know, low interest rate, but still has to be paid back, or an individual assistance grant, and those grants average $5,000, which is not enough to rebuild anyone's house. So the truth is that insurance benefits, you know, are you either have them and then you recover, or you don't and you don't recover. So insurance benefits are a critical lifeline for people. And unfortunately, our experience has been that the benefits don't always flow as they should in a situation where there's a lot of money on the line. And also somewhere between 50% and 60% of the disaster survivors we've encountered over the last 25 years are underinsured. So they don't have enough insurance. They don't have the insurance they thought they had. And so a lot of our focus is on making sure people collect every dime of the benefits that they do have.
Thousands of people taking the first steps on a long road to recovery, rebuilding their lives and rebuilding their homes. Amy Bach and her volunteers are there to help them in Northern California. Amy Bach is Executive Director of United Policyholders. Amy, thanks a lot.
Thank you.